Good evening. We have a problem. As you can see, it's getting really tight in here. So probably starting next week, I'm going to ask some of you to not come back. You know, we need room for other people. You guys just love the Lord and just need a second hit in the middle of the week. And I don't blame you because the Lord is good. This evening, we are in Joshua chapter 7 as we continue word for word, chapter by chapter, book by book through the Bible. Joshua chapter 7. How many of you here are perfect and you don't sin? All right, we have two people. Good. We'll see what you say about after this study. Joshua chapter 7. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless this time. Lord, this time is already blessed because we're simply reading your word. You have blessed it and you have put it for us, Lord, so that we can dig in. And as we search out your scripture, Lord, your scriptures search out our hearts. And it cleanses it, and it just make us, Lord, more like you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word, which is so powerful and so effective in just cleansing us and washing us clean. Lord, do the work that you have set it for to do. We're here as open vessels. We're here just to be, to put ourselves in your hands, Lord, and allow you to do what you do best. So, Lord, we give you thanks and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask a question. I asked one question already, but anyone here ever committed a secret sin? You know those sins when no one's around and no one's watching? When you think that no one will find out, you know, that, well, it's tax season, you know. And everyone wants to, you know, see how we can get around paying our taxes. It's what we do when we're in our room and on that computer and we're watching things where, again, no one will ever know because it's secret. It's watching, I don't know how many of you have a bootleg copy of The Passion of the Christ. There are people who have bootleg copy because why? No one watch you. No one would know that you have an illegal copy. I remember some years ago, this was years ago, when they had that software called Napster. And man, I was downloading music, you know. No one would know. No one would ever find out. Well, if I can give you any news tonight, it's no secret. What you do in secret is really not any secret. Why? God is watching you. The Lord is there. He's watching you. And what you think is being done in secret, well, look with me, Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, in a few minutes you'll be Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of this other guy, and the son of this other person of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed things so that the anger of the Lord burnt against the children of Israel. Now, in chapter 6, if you remember last week, God told the Israelites, when you march around Jericho 7 times, blow the trumpet, shout, the walls will come down, but I want you to destroy everything in the city. Everything is why? It's accursed. It's cursed. Don't touch it. Don't put your eyes on it. Don't do anything with it. Just burn it. Just destroy it. But Achan, of course, when no one was watching, Achan saw something. It was that glitter. It was that spark. Ooh, what is that? Oh, that looks good. Surely God will want me to burn this. And so what did he do? Well, he took the cursed things. You see, when people commit sin in secret, it's really because, well, again, it's an opportunity. They think that they're going to get ahead. If I take this and nobody's watching, it's a chance, it's an opportunity for me to get ahead. And for some people, even doing things in secret, it's even a thrill. You know, Proverbs 9, verse 17, it says, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Ooh, that thrill, that, ooh, I'm going to get away with it. But can I remind you, God is watching. When Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that means he's going to be there with you 24/7. Wherever you go, there is Jesus. And there you are watching that bootleg copy of that. And Jesus is right there. Oh, you enjoying it? Good. Passion of the Christ. Yes, I did it because I love you. But we think, nobody's watching. Yes, I am. I am watching you. Listen, Psalm 90, verse 8. "You have set out iniquity before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance." Ecclesiastes 12, 14, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret things, whether good or bad." Mark 4, 22, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." You see, after this study, if you're not scared straight, something is wrong with you. Because God is telling us that he watches everything, and everything that we do, whether good or evil, will be brought to light. He will do that. And so that's why I encourage people, listen, practice the presence of God. If he's there, guess what? Practice. Well, yeah, I was going to steal that, but Jesus, I know you're there, so I'm not going to touch it. Practice the presence of God. And it's even to encourage you even further, teach your kids to practice the presence of God. You see, because if you're over your kids and you're saying, well, don't do that, don't do that, there's going to be a time when you're not there. But if you teach them that the Lord is there with them, he's watching them, every single thing that they do, guess what? Well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Mom is not here, but I know Jesus is here. If you're taking note, listen, your secret sins will affect people around you. You need to know that. When you think it's secret and you think that it won't harm anyone, no one will find out, listen, it will always affect people around you. Look with me in verse 2 now. "Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is besides Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up and spy out the country.' So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebrim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water." When Achan committed that sin in secret, he didn't know it was going to affect the entire nation of Israel. And so what was supposed to be an easy victory for Israel became an embarrassing defeat. They spied out the land and said, you know what, we don't even need our whole army, just a couple thousand, 2,000 or 3,000 the most. And instead of winning the battle, man, they lost lives. In cases like this, a lot of times people will turn to God and say, "God, how could you allow us to lose this battle? How could you allow this to happen? How could you allow my marriage to fail? How can you allow the children of my children's behavior to be that way? How can, all these things?" Listen, your sin will affect the people around you. See, when most people commit secret sins, they never intend for anyone to get hurt. Isn't that true? I don't wake up and say, well, I'm going to do this because I want everyone to get hurt. No one ever intends that. But guess what? It does happen. Your children, your wife, and people around you, they get hurt when you do secret sins. See, the adulterer never planned for their spouse to get hurt, right? But they do. The person that's embezzling money, when they get thrown in prison, their family gets affected by it. So it always have an effect. Secret sin, if I can describe it, is like taking a gun, shooting it in a room, and hoping that no one will get hurt. But someone will get hurt. Listen, we've said this before, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. When you sin, it will bring death. James talks about when sin is fully grown, it will bring death. And so when you think that, hey, it's a secret sin, no one will find out. Listen, Achan sinned and 36 men lost their lives. Did he plan for it? No. And so this brings me to the next section here. If you have been affected by someone's sin, and this is for someone, for you who don't sin, but have been affected by someone's sin. But if you've been affected by someone's sin, listen, don't blame God for the problem. Seek him for the solution. Look with me in verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their head. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over to the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we have been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns it back before its enemy? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Joshua tore his clothes and basically saying, God, it's your fault why we're dying here. You brought us here. We would have been fine if we had stayed on the east side of the Jordan. Why the promised land? He blamed God. Isn't it the same thing that Adam did? It's your fault, God, the woman you gave me. We blame God for the things that's happening in our lives instead of saying, God, can you show me what's the problem here? Is there sin involved? And if so, is it me or is it someone else? Reveal it to me. And if there is sin, show me what to do. But don't sit around just blaming God, tearing your clothes, putting dust on your head, and blaming him. You see, whining won't solve anything. And that's what often people will do when they have been affected by especially someone else's sin. They stay and whine. They find someone and they complain. Oh, let me tell you what she's done. Let me tell you. Oh. And it's become just a, you know, not drinking wine, but just whining, you know. And it doesn't solve anything. But I believe God loves us enough to say, you know what? Yes, you've been hurt by this person's sin, but I want that person to be healed. I want you to be healed as well. He wants to give us solution. And so, look with verse 10. When the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Did you see what the Lord said? Get up, man. Stop whining. Stop laying around and just moping. Be a man. You can be a man, is what he is saying. The Lord wants Joshua to say, you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to find out what's going on here and deal with the problem instead of whining. And even as he is basically saying here, I'm going to run back. It was better that we stay on the other side of the Jordan. Running away from your problems is not going to solve it either. Get up and let's deal with it, the Lord will say. If you have been affected by someone else's sin, I believe it is important that we seek to know what the root problem is. Again, seek to know what the root problem is. And who knows better what the root problem is than God? Look at verse 11 now. And Israel, verse 11 says, Israel has sinned. This is what God has said. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they... I'm missing a page here. Whoa. Somebody have deceived me and stolen my verse. What's that? Whoa. You found it? Wow. Oh, Robbie, you're a lifesaver. Thank you. Oh, man. You know, Robbie's a practical joker, and I believe he did on purpose. I hope you learn a lesson from Aiken. So the Lord said, Israel have sinned, and so did Robbie, and has stolen and deceived, and he have also put it among his own stuff. And verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. So we have to understand this. Almost every problem that we can deal with in life is tied in with a sin problem. Let me say that again. Every problem we face in life is tied in, is connected somehow to sin. When Adam sinned, it affected the entire universe, if you can imagine that. And so... When there's a problem in our life, instead of moping around and whining and complaining and running, seek to know what that problem is, where the root of the problem comes from. So when you have, for example, a dysfunctional family, why is that family dysfunctional? Look for the root issue. It's usually attached to sin. If you have a debt problem, if you can't pay your bills, there's usually a root issue. There's a sin that's attached to it. If there's an anger problem, if you're suffering from depression, look for the root issue. If there's a divorce, why is that? Because there's a root issue. It usually is a sin problem. So it's important that we identify what the root problem is. And if you don't recognize it, guess what? You're going to be dealing with just symptoms. You're going to be treating the symptoms instead of the problem. If you ever go to a doctor and you say to the doctor, "Doc, my tongue is blue," and he gives you a dye to make it pink again, he's not dealing with the problem. He's dealing with the symptoms. And that's what often that we do when we're fighting each other and we're arguing, and oftentimes we're dealing with the symptoms. God made it clear. He said, the reason why you're having problem is because Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. Psalm 139, verse 23, listen, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Instead of whining, complaining, running, Lord, is it me, Lord? Am I part of the problem? No one ever sees their own sin, and even when you have been affected by someone else's sin, you have to even search your own heart and say, Lord, am I part of the problem? Am I causing? As I was talking to Jeff yesterday, we were talking about people who are addicted to drugs, alcohol. And sometimes you have someone who is an enabler. enabling that person to participate in that sin, sometimes hiding their sin. Search me, O Lord. See if I'm a part of that problem. And so verse 13, God, he said, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to family, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the households which the Lord takes shall come by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed things shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Once you identify what the problem is, deal with it appropriately. Once you identify it, don't, sometimes I believe people kind of ignore it, shun it, or just turn their backs on it. We have to deal with the problem. So notice the Lord said, he kind of gave some steps here. He said, sanctify yourself. You know, set aside some time tomorrow. We're going to deal with this as a family. When you plan to confront someone, if someone has sinned and it's affecting you, plan a time when you can sit down with that person and say, hey, let's have a talk here. And you lovingly confront that person. What you don't want to do is a drive-by confrontation. In other words, when you're, you know, in the middle and the busyness of the day, you don't, you know, try to say, oh, by the way, you have sinned and we'll talk to you about it later. No, hey, let's have a seat. Let's talk. There's some issues that's going on. We need to talk about this. And once you have set that time, listen, clearly identify the problem. Notice he said, there are accursed things that someone have taken. Clearly identify the problem. You see, sometimes we just give hints and say, well, something is wrong, but we don't really identify and say, this is what's wrong. Identify the problem. And then he goes on and basically is, saying, you cannot stand before your enemy. So he's clearly showing the effects of the sin. You know, because of what you have done, Achan, we cannot stand against our enemies. Your sin is causing problems. And then the fourth thing here I wrote in my notes, give the person a chance to admit they're wrong, their problem. Notice he said, bring the tribe, bring the family, bring the individual. It's basically, let's search this out. And now you have what the problem is. Now that you have shown what it caused, you know, hey, are you going to own up to it? Are you going to confess? And then lastly, take the appropriate step to rid yourself of the sin. Notice what he said, burn it with fire. The person that has done wrong, burn him with fire, him and all that he have done. So I know some of you are probably going to take this word literally, and I hope there's no murders tonight. We're going to clarify this, okay? You see, when you deal with a sin or someone who have done sin, once that person say, you know what, there's definitely a problem, you might want to suggest, hey, you might want to seek some counsel. Or you might, if you have a problem with, you know, what's on the computer screen, let's set some guards up. Let's put a password on it so that you don't go there. Some of you might need to burn the computer. Get it out. You deal with it appropriately, because if you don't, then it's going to be that, well, it's going to continue, whatever the problem is. It's going to show its head again. That's why the Lord said, deal with it seriously. Burn it. But look with me in the second half of verse 13. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have taken away the accursed things from among you. See, until you deal with that sin, you will continue to have that problem. And people have been just going through around and around Jericho, going around and around, never resolving their problem because, again, they haven't dealt with it properly. So, if you're taking note, the next thing you need to know if you've been, committed some kind of secret sin, understand this, you will always be caught. You will always be caught. And I want this one to sink into our minds. You will always be caught. Look at verse 16. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribe, and their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zobdi, which was taken. Then he brought the house, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." So here it is, God, again, he's organizing, he's picking out a tribe, and in that tribe, you know, he's bringing man by man, you know, family by family, man by man, you know, to basically expose the sin that is going on. But when you sin, understand you'll be caught, and he's either going to be by man, which is very embarrassing, or by God. And you know, it's gonna show its head somewhere. You know, you're not going to get away with it. Although you think, some of you probably have done things way long ago, and you say, "Woo, I'm glad that's over. No one will ever find out." Yes, someone has found out, and you will be held accountable to God for it. The Bible tells us, when it comes to sin, that we are, basically, it's better to judge yourself. You might want to write it down, 1 Corinthians 11:31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, we are disciplined by him, that we may not be condemned with the world." So the Lord encourages us to judge ourselves. Deal with the sin. But if you don't judge yourself, Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says, "In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ." See, we can do it here, or we can stand before God. But never, any way you look at it, it's going to be dealt with. If you remember in Numbers chapter 23, Moses said, "If you do what is right, you subdue your enemies." However, in verse 32, verse 32 of Numbers 23, "If you do not do so, then take note, your sin, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." That's sobering when you think about it. Your sin will find you out. When you think you're hiding and no one will know, your sin will expose you. And so verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done when I saw among the spoils," oh, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver. Who's going to pass that up? Come on. And a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. And there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." I wonder what crossed Achan's mind when you had the lineup of all the tribes. And there Joshua is coming down the line. If Family, stand up. Have anyone sinned? No, no one sinned. You, family, stand up. Have anyone sinned? And Achan is down there thinking, oh my, it's coming. They're coming my way. It's a lineup. It's a holy lineup. And it's coming my way. What is he thinking? Well, you know what he's thinking. We all know what he's thinking. If I say yes, I did it. I die. If I say no, I didn't do it. I lie. But not only that I die if I lie, but the entire Israel will die. You see, because he has broken the covenant of the Lord, and the Lord said, if you have broken my covenant, the entire nation will be affected. And so Achan had a decision to make at that moment. Is he going to man up to it and say, you know what, I'm going to deal with it. Yes, I have sinned, and I'm going to deal with the consequences, or am I just going to try to run away from it and cause even further damage? And that's what oftentimes we do when we continue to deny, I have a problem, I have a sin, and when you run from it, it causes further damage. So Achan admitted that he sinned against God. He said, I have sinned, I have done it. This is what I've done. I've coveted what God said, do not covet. The Bible tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season. Hebrews 11:25. When you sin, oh, it's so sweet, it's so pleasurable. But I have to ask the question, even looking at this whole thing, is it worth it? Is your sin worth that pleasure, for that temporary pleasure in time? And I find it so amazing that Achan is not even enjoying this thing that he has taken, because why? It's buried. He's hiding it under his tent. He cannot even put it out on his shelf and say, look at the riches that I have. He can't even do that. When someone has a relationship that's not right, you cannot even enjoy it, because why? You have to be hidden behind some closed door. If you have stolen something, you can't go out and say, well, look at this nice Harley I've stolen. You can't even do that. So verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the sons of Zerah, the silver, the garments, the wedges of gold, his sons, his daughter, his oxen, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stone. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Wow, that's an amazing thing to have a valley named after you. If you're taking note, write this down. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. Achan confessed, I did it, man. I stole, I deceived, I lied, and the evidence is right there under my tent. And when he chose his sin, he didn't realize that he didn't choose his consequence. The consequence will come. Again, the Bible tells us sin always lead to death. God said to Adam, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but again, you can't even enjoy it openly. So Achan, again, he buried his sin, covered it up. But as the Lord exposed them, now he ended up dying. Now someone will look on and say, well, that's not fair. He confessed his sins. Isn't there forgiveness for sins. Isn't it the Lord said that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you for all of all unrighteousness? Oh, yes, yes, you're forgiven. But that doesn't take away the consequences for your sins. The Bible says, well, before I go there, and some will even probably argue and say, well, it's not fair that his family had to die with him. You know, when a man and a woman, or a woman, I should say, decide to commit adultery, they never think about the devastating effect it have on their family. If anyone have gone through it, you know how hard it is. If you haven't, you don't want to know. I remember not too long ago, I watched a family go through where a husband cheated on his wife, left his family to go off with this other woman, family destroyed. And now that I'm understanding that the guy, the girl that he left to go be with, they're not even together anymore. Now this family is destroyed. And the thing that he went after, the pleasure that he went after, it wasn't worth it. It destroyed his family. It destroyed his life. It destroyed now even this other person that he entered into this relationship with, destroyed her life as well. Again, you can choose the sin, but you can't choose the consequence. We have to ask the question, is it worth it? Can I say it's not worth it? See, there's a principle in the Bible, and I think we all should know it. If you don't know it, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I believe that if you deal with your sin early, you will save yourself from even greater sins, greater effect of your sin. If you know a ficus tree, ficus trees are beautiful trees. And if you have been not wise, and you take a ficus tree and plant it next to your house, you know what's going to happen? It's going to take that root and it's going to destroy the foundation of your house. But if you catch it early enough, you probably can cut it down and the damage will not be as bad. It will cause damage, but it probably won't be as bad. But if you ignore that problem, that sin, that ficus tree, and you let it to grow big, guess what? It's going to damage your property, and God forbid that it loses more seeds, and now more ficus trees coming out. Now you have a whole lot of trees you got to cut out. So if you know you have a secret sin, guess what? Deal with it now. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow. Deal with it. As the Bible said, what you sow, that you will reap. If you're sowing in sin, you're going to reap the consequences. Again, God loves you and he will forgive you. But guess what? You jump off a building, you're still going to fall. It's going to hurt. So deal with it. Deal with it now. But you see, in that principle of sowing and reaping, understand, it's not only if you sow bad seed, but if you sow good seeds, guess what you're going to reap? Good fruit. And so if you have a sin problem, deal with it, cut it out right away. Don't delay. But start planting good seeds so that you can start enjoying or reaping the good fruit of that tree, of what you're doing. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it says, let him who stole steal no longer. So that's cutting that tree down, right? But rather let him labor, work with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Again, don't just cut down that tree. Don't just say, well, I'm going to, you know, stop doing this. But the Bible encourages us to do something productive. So if you have sinned against your family, instead of just saying, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, and take that time and invest it in your family. If you have stolen from the IRS, call the IRS and say, I'm going to work for it. You see, I'm going to pay off my debt. Do what is right, the Bible tells us, and we will reap good things. But if we continue, don't be upset with God when you reap what you have sown. Amen? Amen. And Lord, again, we examine, wow, Lord, a sobering chapter. And Lord, you have put this chapter in here so that we today, who can look on an example of Achan and see the mistake that he had made, so that, Lord, we won't make the same mistake. Lord, I pray that you convict our heart if there's anyone in here that is committing any secret sin, Lord. I pray that you will help them, give them the boldness, the courage to stop, that they may not be affected, they may not have to reap the consequences, that they may not affect their family and those who are around them. Lord, you have called us to be separated, to be holy and righteous, even as you are righteous, Lord. And we admit, Lord, we are sinners. Lord, we are in this flesh. But so, Lord, we ask for your help. We beg of you, Lord. And we do ask for your forgiveness and help us to walk in the way of righteousness. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.